have this mistaken notion that Avram, you know, got the job as an Av by being absolutely perfect from birth, that he was able to do everything without any challenges and everything was there, that Moshe Rabbeinu became the greatest Navi by being the perfect person, that there were no challenges, that he was everything was fine, and that there was nothing there. Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yoshua, and going on throughout everywhere, that every gadol that has ever appeared in Klal Yisrael, Av, Shevet, everything, they were born great and terrific and awesome. They were put in a position that I wasn't put in. I'm in a terrible position, that I wasn't born like that, so I have no ability to be anywhere near them. And although it's true in a way, there is no way that anybody here is going to become an Av, or even a Shevet, or even one of the gadolim of previous generations, and that will probably be impossible. But we have to learn what we can take out of this, because it can't be. It will really extend to the gedolim of our generation, where, I mean, honestly, we'll read Sfarim in which it says that, you know, Chaim Kanievsky finished Shas at the age of 2.5, right after he got out of diapers, he finished his first Sima Shas, right? And Reb Moshe Feinstein never made a mistake in halacha his entire life, that he got everything 100% right. The Chafetz Chaim never spoke a word of Lashon Hara from when he was born. You know, we put that through, and I don't know if those are true or not. It doesn't really make that much of a difference. It's just the way that it sounds as if that there's no chance that any of us will ever be like any of them. And that's such a loss on our part. In fact, books are banned because of this idea. To say that the Gedolim had somewhat, not totally, but somewhat normal lives and challenges as they were growing up. Maybe not the exact same thing, but books are banned for that. In the Muslim world, people are killed for saying the wrong thing when it comes to this. You say something about Muhammad in the wrong vein, say that he did something wrong, you're killed for it. And we see that's not what the Torah does. The Torah does not say when you have a situation where either Avram Avinu or Moshe Avinu or somebody did something wrong, it doesn't go around it and try to say, like, no, we'll sugarcoat it and say, like, they didn't really do anything wrong. The Torah says straight out. The Ramban speaks about it in this week's parsha. Avram Avinu did a chait here and did a chait there. How Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed in Eretz Yisrael for a seemingly small chait. How David HaMelech, Reuven, etc. The Chumash tells us straight out that they did something that was something that was considered like a chait. But there's more to it than what the Torah tells us that we can learn from. The Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu got his first nevuah seemingly in the beginning of this week's parsha, 75. And even according to the Ramban that says that the parsha is out of order, that Lechlecha is out of order, the first nevuah that Avraham Avinu received was at the age of 70. At the youngest, 70 for the Bris Bein HaBasarim, 75 for Parshas Lechlecha. And it was the first nevuah he received. First nevuah he received. Before this, he was already Megayer Gerim. There were already Gerim and Klal Yisrael. There were people that were living under, there were avodim to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had already been commanded, so to speak, through his own right, to be able to do things. He threw himself into a Kiv Shana Ish before he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we think of it as, well, Avraham Avinu is this great man who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you speak to God, then of course you'll be willing to be Moser Nefesh and throw yourself into a fire. But he didn't. He was never positive he was right. He was made fun of by everyone in the world. Everyone that he knew thought he was a fool. Nobody ever listened to him. Nobody really thought that he was kosher. And he had these avodim, these people that were around him that were willing to do something like him. But Avraham Avinu himself, he never got a nevuah until he was 70. Think about that. Spending however many years it was, 50 years, proselytizing, going around, helping people for 50 years, and was never positive he was right. Until out of the blue, he gets a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak was 37 at the Akedah. 37 years old with the Akedah. This is not a little kid. This is a person who sat there and he said, I know I can fight Avraham Avinu. I know I have the ability to do so, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to be willing to be Moser Nefesh. That in of itself took a long time. I mean, Yaakov Avinu. When did Yaakov Avinu first receive a nevuah? Consider. Yaakov Avinu got his first nevuah at the age of? Typical, right? 63 when he got the brachos. 14 years yeshiva shein be'eber, and his first nevuah was a dream of the ladder when he's sitting in the makom hamikdash at the age of 77. 77 years old before he got his first nevuah. But it doesn't even compare to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get a nevuah until he was 80. We're not talking about people who at the age of 2, 3, 4 years old, they're speaking to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and they're having conversations. It took a while, for all of them to build themselves up to be able to speak. Yeshua didn't get a Nebuah until he was 94. 94 years old, Yeshua receives a Nebuah. Now granted, there were people who were younger, small enough, he was young when he received a Nebuah, on a certain level. Aaron, Miriam, were younger when they received Nebuahs. But the men that we speak about, the Gedolim that we speak about in the Torah, Avram at the age of 70, Yitzchak maybe at 37, depends, but if not, then at 64 when he got his first Nebuah. Yaakov at 77, Moshe Rabbeinu at 80, Yeshua at 94. That's when they received the first Nebuah. Now of course they weren't cooked in before that point. Of course they weren't. We're not talking about Yishmael or an Esav. These were men who lived great lives, who built themselves up to be able to receive Nebuah from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You have to understand that it didn't just happen as if they just didn't deserve it. They had to be on a level. And the reason why is because, simply put, you need Achana. Nobody becomes a gadol overnight. There is no way that you can do that. Bilam was able to receive a Nebuah, but not overnight. He built himself up to become the person that he was. And although he did things that were wrong, and we know that Bilam did things that were wrong, he built himself up with some type of mysterious nefesh on his level. Whatever that level was, Bilam had to build himself up to get a Nebuah. You don't do certain things. It can't and it shouldn't happen overnight, where all of a sudden you grow, you wake up in the morning and you're a gadol, and everybody's asking you for Piskei Halacha, or people are coming to you for Aces. That's absolutely not the way that it should be, and no way that is the type that it is. It needs preparation. In order to have some type of preparation to become this gavul, to become a person that people will listen to and look at and say, that's the person that I want to be, you need goals. And you need to have a goal of wanting to become a great person. That must be your goal. And your end off, the end of the line, the way it should be is that after 120, at your funeral, at the hesped that they're giving for you, you want them to say that this man was a gadol. You're going to want that. You want this to be said about you, not out of the covered reason. Just stop. This is what a person can do in this world. And even if it's a bit unrealistic, what kind of a person am I? Do I really think that I'm going to be able to do it? Shoot for the moon and settle for something that might be a little bit lower. But I'm going to ask you, Tom, don't you want to be able to give a shir one day? Don't you want to be able to stay out a shir, even if it's only for kids? Don't you want to be able to be that person that gives a shir over to people, that helps Talmidim be able to learn in some aspect of their lives to make them better people? Don't you want that? Wouldn't you want to be able to have a Seder, and not just a Seder where you're sitting down, and I'm not downplaying Daf Yomi, but Daf Yomi plus you sit down with a Chavrusa in the morning, before or right after you daven Shacharis early in the morning. You sit down for a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, going over a Gemara Rashi Tosfos with no, you don't have to finish the page, you don't have to finish even the Daf. All you have to do is get through and try to understand what shot behind this Machlokis Rashi Tosfos is. Don't you want to be able to understand a Machlokis Rashi Tosfos that the rest of the day, your thoughts in your head is, what was Rashi talking about? What was Tosfos thinking of? That should start off your day. Don't you want that to be your life? Don't you want to be able to sit down with your kid, whether he's learning Eilu Metzias when he's in fifth grade, or when he gets older and he's learning Cheskes Abatim when he's in high school? Don't you want to sit down with him and explain to him what the Rashbam is saying? To explain to him what it means, to give him a little bit more. I'll tell you, when I learned Eilu Metzias, this is how I understood the Gemara. And give him a little bit more, tell him what a Ramban says. Don't you want that? Don't you want that as a goal? Even if you think it's unrealistic, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. The way that I am right now, and where that has to be, maybe I there's no way I can do that. Just want it. Do you want it? Do you want to be able to learn with your kid? Do you want to sit down and have a half hour learning session with your kid? Do you want to sit down and do it with them? More. Do you want to have a real chavrusa? Not just learning. I mean a real chavrusa. You're sitting down and you're not being taught. You're not paying the guy to sit and learn with you. You're sitting down with them and you're on equal par with them, and you're sitting down and it's a give and take. You're telling them something, he's saying something back, and you're not being bogged down by the words. You're sitting there, you're trying to understand everything there. More than just that. Don't you want to love learning? Where it's not just a chore, it's something that you feel like you have to do, but you come in one day and you say, this is awesome, and I want to do it, and I want to not only just do it, I want to do more than this. I want to build myself up so much to the point where I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, I wish I had more time. Where you're closing the Gemara and you're saying, why do I have to close this Gemara? Why am I working? Maybe I should just sit in the base medrash all day. Don't you want that? Don't want to learn all day, even if you know you can't learn all day. You're not going to quit your job for this, but to at least want to sit down and learn and really have it for yourself. I want it to be so much more. Not just be okay with it. Just settle for it. Not just do it because your kawa wants you to sit down and learn. And if you want to get a good girl, I mean a good clean girl, they're going to go for a guy who's kovei itim b'torah. You want to find a good guy who's kovei itim b'torah, you're going to have to. I mean, honestly, don't you want to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell you through the text of the Gemara itself? It's like reading behind the scenes in the Oval Office. I was telling the Musa Kabur the other day. Going behind the scenes in the Oval Office, you're reading what the President is talking to the Secretary of State and what the Vice President is saying. They're all talking together. Lahavdil, Alfei, Elef, a trillion, whatever it is, Havdalos. You're reading the Gemara. This is what's going on, so to speak, in the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're taking the Machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and putting it down, and you're saying out the Machshavos of Hashem. Don't you want to see what Hashem is thinking about? Or do you really want to be that guy who's just quoting lines from a TV show? And he's going on and saying, oh man, did you see Boss last night? It was unbelievable. Do you really want to be that guy? Do you really want to be the guy who's sitting there and saying, like, oh man, it was the best TV show ever last night? Is that really the guy you want to be? Do you want to be the guy who's known by the water cooler as the guy who he knows every TV show? He watches it all. He has everything. Oh, if you know a line from that TV show, this guy will know it. Do you want to be that guy? Is that the guy you want to be? Are you the guy who wins every game of, I don't know, charades or Pictionary because you know every movie in the book? Because you have Amazon Prime and Netflix and all the others, and you're sitting there and you've seen every movie out there. So when somebody asks you a question and you sit there and you're like, oh yeah, it's like Ice Age 2. You want to be that guy? Because I'll tell you, I have a name for that guy. It's, without a question, a loser. Without a question. But it's more than that. It's a person who literally has no idea what he's doing in life. Do you want to be the Candy Crush guy? You know what the Candy Crush guy is? The guy who got to level 600? And for a second, it sounds impressive. I mean, you sit there and you say to yourself, now, I haven't played. I'm lucky. I'm lucky enough that I've never played this game in my life. Because I was Zilcha. I was Zilcha to be born in a generation where phones aren't there, so I'm Zilcha to be able to understand that games on a phone don't need to be there. I'm Zilcha to understand that. Never played it once in my life. But where a person says, like, yeah, I'm on level 600, and the other people are like, wow. Do you know how many hours it takes to get to level 600 of Candy Crush? Do you know how many it does? I mean, some of you might know this. Some of you might actually have a husband now. There might be a husband in your phone of how many hours you've actually played it. I remember somebody telling me there was a video, I don't remember what it was. There was a game on the phone where it logs the amount of hours that you're on the game itself. How many hours you've played it, how many minutes, obviously it's how many minutes, then how many hours, then how many, etc. It goes on. And the guy was... this is what stopped him from playing it. He's playing the game, and then all of a sudden it said something like 600 hours that he had spent playing that game. 600 hours! Did this guy have 600 hours of learning? 600 hours of playing one single game! I could think of more pathetic things, but it would take me a little bit to get there. It would take me a little bit. Is that the guy you want to be? Are you the person that wants to be known as the person who's sitting on their phone playing those games as the guy who won the game? That's the guy you want to be? Is it the guy who really knows every single TV show and that? Are you the guy who wants to be the sports guy?
Who, if you ask them at a baseball game or a football game, who won the baseball game last night? Who won the World Series game last night? You really want to be that guy? Who cares? In the honest truth, maybe, if your team was in the World Series, I could hear a kind of why you would want to know. But the Giants and the Royals? Are you serious? If you know anything about these games, there is no reason for you to be alive. That makes no sense. Why would you want to know? It's a world out there of such losers, literally losers, they have no life. They have nothing. All they have is a little bit of information which may help them when they play Trivial Pursuit one day. Maybe. And that's it. That's all they got. And a ton of wasted time and lack of sleep. Because most of this time is spent between 10 p.m. and 2:30 a.m. Sometimes on a Thursday night, it's a different mishmore. It's a different type of mishmore. It's a different type. Sitting down, you have your chowent, you're watching How I Met Your Daddy. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And that's what you're going to sit and do. Literally, totally, completely missing the point of life. Completely missing it. I promise you, I'm promising you this. You can be a guddle. You can be. Every single person here can be a guddle. There is no question about that. But it takes work. It's not going to happen even if you just turn off your phone now and you say, you know what, fine, then I won't go on a game and I won't play something and I'm not going to pick up my phone during Seder. That's a start. That's not going to turn you into a guzzle. You have to have a goal, a real goal, a lifelong goal. A lifelong goal where here's where I want to go, because if you say that I want to finish up, that's my goal, I'm going to finish up and I'm going to do it. Then 7.5 years from now when you finish up, where are you going to be? What's going to happen then? I want to do Shnayim Mikra V'Efa Targum. That's not your goal. My goal is to finish Shnayim Mikra V'Efa Targum every single year for the next 80 years. That's a goal. I want to finish Shas 100 times. That's a goal. There was I don't even know how old this kid was. Maybe 7 years old in Shul. And I disagree with a lot of the announcements that go on in Shuls, because I disagree with almost a lot of things. Anyway, there was an announcement that went on in Shul, and they said it in front of everybody at Adas Yisharon. And they said, Mazel Tov to a 7-year-old kid who finished Shnayim Mikra V'Efa Targum with Rashi for his first time. That's a kid with a goal. 7 years old, he finished Shnayim Mikra V'Efa Targum with Rashi. And I know you're sitting there and it's Bereishis was 150 odd psukim, Noah was 160 odd psukim, Lech Lecha was 130. We're dealing with a big parshios, a lot of Rashis. Do you know what you can gain by doing Rashis and Chumash? Do you know how much time you have? Take 1 hour out of your Candy Crush game. And you can, I guarantee you, you'll be able to finish Shnayim Mikra V'Efa Targum. Every week. You can finish all the weeks, probably in 1 week of your playing a game on your phone, you'll be able to finish Shnayim Mikra V'Efa Targum for the year. For the year. It's amazing. A gavul is a person who has a goal and works his way to it, even if it seems impossible. Even if it seems there's no way he's going to do it. He spends the extra 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes in the base matters. I was tired last night. I didn't feel well. And I'm sitting there and I said to myself, okay, I really should go to sleep. And because I said that to myself, I made sure that I stayed up an extra half hour. Because there's no reason for myself to sit there and say, I really should go to sleep right now. So what is that? It's not the way you finish, you complete your goals. If you want to be able to finish something, to do something, you want to be able to become something big in life, and eventually maybe you'll all be able to be there. If you want to be able to do it, then you have to push yourself beyond what you thought you could do. I know what I think I can do. I know what I think I know what I can really do. And I'm going to push myself. And I'm going to do more. I'm going to say to myself, see, I'm such a baby. I didn't need to do just that. There is no way. The Rav Eliashiv went to sleep one night saying, I'm not feeling so well, maybe I should go to sleep. He never would have become Rav Eliashiv. It's the way that Avraham Avinu went to sleep thinking to himself, like, I think I did enough today. No, there's no way. Have your whole life waiting to do more and more and more, and this is exactly what I want. I'm waiting to hear one of my talmidim getting up and saying, I'm giving a shira on Shabbos, can you come? And I'm go. There is no question. B'li neder, I will tell you right now, I will go to that shir. I'll go to the shir that you're given. I'm going to sit down there, and I'm going to say, while I'm sitting down in the shir, the same thing that one of my rabbeim here in Skokie Yeshiva did for me when he heard my first shir when I came back when I was 22, 23 years old, right? And I came and I gave a shir, and he said to me, it's inspiring to see someone work hard and make something of himself. And I'm telling you, I'll do the exact same thing. Have the goal. Write up chaburas. Make something for yourself. Allow yourself to be inspiring to other people and to yourself. Become that gadol. Because you don't accept it upon yourself. You don't make yourself want to do something. You won't. You won't. And you won't be anywhere. Push yourself more. And put down the phone. Turn off the computer and go to sleep so that you can wake up for chakras and do more the next day. So you can complete yourself the next day and make yourself better the next day. Make it a better day. Make yourself into a small gub, a gubble katan for now. And make yourself bigger and bigger and bigger and have that goal ready so that at 120, the hesed is going to be amazing. Amazing. It's not for you. For others, see what you were able to accomplish in this world with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And at 75, if you end up getting a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's amazing. At 80, you end up becoming Mashiach, because Moshe Rabbeinu ended up being the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael at the time. At 80, amazing. Amazing. So he had a little bit of a head start. At the age of 20, he already knew the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was able to kill Egyptians. Fine. So granted, that was a little bit of a head start. But amazing. Make yourself into that gadol and start now. Make the goals now. Stop with that, everybody.